studied from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament this morning. Tonight I want to go all the way back to the Old Testament, to Exodus, the 4th chapter. We'll draw a lesson from verses at the end of Exodus chapter 4 and some of the verses in chapter 5. In Exodus 4, verse 29, the text says, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. And this gives you the attitude that the children of Israel had toward the word of God that was spoken to them. Now, as you continue reading on over chapter 5, it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. You see, two very contrasting attitudes in these short verses. One, a belief in God and willingness to do his will. The other, a disbelief in God and an unwillingness to do what God had required. In this particular event, we see a compromise of God's law. The word compromise suggests the idea of coming to an agreement by concession. One side giving in a little and the other side giving in a little. I'm convinced that this is one of the biggest problems that we have to face in our society. There are many areas in which compromise is in fact necessary. Sometimes it's necessary in families. Husband maybe have to give a little, wife give a little on a particular issue that is facing the family. It may be in government. Some of the leaders in the civil government may have to give over to the judgment of another civil leader in matters of judgment. That's not necessarily a bad thing to do. But let me suggest to you that this is one of Satan's best weapons against us in the spiritual realm. Satan keeps trying to get us to compromise God's law. And so I want us to look back at this account of Israel's leaving Egypt and look at the compromises which Pharaoh offered Israel, and hopefully we can make some comparisons to these offers that Pharaoh made, which in reality is Satan working through Pharaoh, and draw some lessons from these to make some application for us today. You remember Paul said in Romans 15 to verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience come from the scripture might have hope. And so these things in the old law, we realize we're not under the old law, but we learn a great deal of lessons from the things contained in the old law. And so think with me for a little while about compromising God's law in relation to some events that took place regarding the children of Israel leaving the land of Egypt. God's law is revealed to his people. As we read there in Exodus chapter 4, when Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses. So Aaron told the people everything that God had told Moses. Then in chapter 5 at verse 1, the law had been revealed to Israel when Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel. This is what God said to Israel, let my people go. You remember that Israel was in bondage, had been in bondage now for about 400 years down in Egypt. God had told them to leave Egypt, go out in the wilderness, and there to hold a feast in the wilderness. And so this is God's law for Israel. Leave Egypt, go hold a feast in the wilderness. Today, we are taught to come out from the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What Paul points out here by the inspiration of the Spirit is that these two cannot coexist. They can't be together because they are against each other. Light and darkness can't stay in the same place. Christ and Belial, or the devil, cannot stay in the same place. Believers and infidels are in direct opposition to each other. And notice what he said in verse 17. Wherefore, that means for this reason, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What the Lord wants us to do is come out of the world. Now, obviously, we can't leave this planet Earth. We'd get on a rocket ship and go, but we'd have to have special spacesuits and all this kind of thing to live, because this Earth is the only place that God made habitable, prepared it for human beings to live in. And Jesus said, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So we can exist in the world, but we can be separate from the world. He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we have this relationship with God. We become a part of his family, a part of his church, a part of his kingdom. And we serve and we glorify him in the church. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto him be glory in the church. And so we are taught in Scripture to separate ourselves from the world. That means to make a distinction between ourselves and the world. We can't be a part of the world. Paul told the Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This word that's translated transform means a total or complete change. So we don't act like, we don't think like, we don't have the same kind of desires that the world has. Israel was to serve God in the wilderness. We today are to serve him in the church, the kingdom, the family of God, the body of Christ. Now that was the rule that was given. Go hold a feast in the wilderness for the children of Israel. Today, come out of the world into the church. The Lord adds those to the church who are saved, Acts 2, verse 47. And so we become a part of this new relationship. We're separate from the world. Now, look with me at the first compromise that Pharaoh offered. Pharaoh said, or rather God said, go sacrifice in the wilderness. We read from verse 1 of chapter 5, and then on down in verse 3. They said, God, the God of the Hebrews, hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. God said, let's go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And here's what Pharaoh said. If you're going over into the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus, there in verse 25, you'll see Pharaoh offering a compromise there. When Pharaoh called for Moses and Pharaoh and said, go ye sacrifice your God in the land. Go sacrifice, but sacrifice in the land. Where was it God said go? God said go into the wilderness, 3 days' journey. Pharaoh tries to compromise. He said, well, yeah, you can worship God, but you can sacrifice here in the land. You have to stay where you are. Don't go out of the land. You remember that the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were serving Pharaoh. He didn't want to lose his slaves. Today, we are slaves of sin. Satan doesn't want to lose us. We're his servants. And so he wants to keep us. And so he says to us today, you can serve God, but you have to stay in the world. Satan says, well, you can be a member of the church, or you don't have to be a member of the church. Just be a good moral person. You can be a member of the church, but you don't have to attend all the time. You don't have to devote all your time to the work of the Lord's church. But understand, as we noted this morning, The saved are in the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Lord added the saved to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul uses the relationship of the husband and wife to illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. He said, well, the husband has the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior of the body, or the Savior of the church. We must be delivered from the power of darkness, according to Colossians 1, verse 13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and that translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You see that change in relationship. We have to understand that morality alone will not save. In Acts chapter 10, the record of Cornelius there, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better moral man than Cornelius was. He was a devout man. He gave much alms to people, prayed to God always. A very morally upright man. But as you look on over in chapter 11 and verse 14, when Peter there rehearses the events that took place down at the household of Cornelius, it tells him what Cornelius was told about Peter. The text says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Cornelius was not saved even though he was a good moral man. But the devil tells us today, well, as long as you're a good person, then you're going to be saved. All you have to do is just live a good, morally upright life and God will be pleased with you. But that's not the case. So the first compromise, Pharaoh said, well, you can go worship, but just stay here in the land and sacrifice. The devil said, oh, you can be religious, but you don't have to be a part of the church. Just be a good moral person. You can stay in the world, be a good moral person, you can be saved. Well, that wouldn't work. Moses said, no, we've got to go in the wilderness. That's what God said. Now, notice the second compromise that is offered over in Exodus chapter 8, there verse 27 and 28. There the text says, we will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat from me. I'll let you go, just don't go very far. You can go sacrifice in the land. God said go 3 days' journey. Pharaoh said you can go and you can sacrifice. You sacrifice in the land. But then he said, I'll let you go. But don't go very far away. You see, the first time he offered, he said, well, you can sacrifice, you can be religious, but you just stay here in the land of Egypt. Now he offers a little more leeway. He said, okay, you can go. You can go out in the wilderness, but just don't go very far away. I'll let you do what God says. Just don't go all the way. Well, that's the kind of thing that Satan offers to us today. He said, okay, I'll let you be a member of the church. You can lead the world. You become a part of the church, the kingdom of God. But you don't get involved. You just be a bench warmer. And you can criticize others for what they're doing. Because, you know, you don't want to be a religious nut. You don't want people to talk about you like that. You don't have to attend regularly. If you attend regularly, you may learn that you need to be there all the time. So the devil doesn't want you there all the time. You can be a member of the church, just don't get involved. In fact, the devil will let you even love God, but just don't love him with all your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That takes total commitment to the Lord, giving yourself completely, totally to him. And you remember, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And as we noted earlier from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He begins in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in God with your spiritual service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Put to the test, that's the idea of prove. Make sure that what you're doing is indeed the will of God, that you are acceptable to him because you're fulfilling his will. And so that's what the Lord would have us to do. But the devil says, well, I'll let you pretend to be a member of the Lord's church, but you can still enjoy the things of the world. You can participate just a little bit. You don't have to do all of it. You can do a little social drinking, and you can look at a few movies that have some sexual content in them, but you don't have to go all the way. Well, that's not the kind of servant that the Lord wants, but that's the kind of thing, that kind of compromise that the devil offers to us today. Pharaoh offers another compromise, going over to the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 10, begin reading with me there at verse 8. And Moses and Aaron brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And so Pharaoh now said, okay, I'm going to let you go. But who all is going to go? Well, remember what God said. He said, you go 3 day journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to God. Moses said here in verse 9, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, and with our daughter, with our flocks, and with our herds, will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And notice as Pharaoh continues. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Pharaoh said, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. God said, everybody's got to go. With our young people, our old people, with our flocks, our herds, everything we have is going with us. Sons, our daughters, flocks, our herds, because we got to hold a feast to the Lord. And Pharaoh said, well, okay, I'll let you go. You go out in the wilderness, but only the men can go. Don't you think that Pharaoh knew that if he kept the women and children there in Egypt, that the men would be back? Go worship, but don't take your whole family. Today, Satan offers some of the same type of thinking. Satan says, well, let me have the women and children. Or he turns it the other way around. Many times, the women and children are in the assemblies of the Lord's church, and the men stay home. You find that in many congregations throughout the land. You find a lot more women that are members of the body of Christ than you will men. That's Satan working. He just wants some part of the family to stay home. Don't be a part of the Lord's church. Don't make the children go to church and worship services. Let them make up their own mind. A fellow was heard to say that when his children became 13 years old, he let them decide for themselves what they wanted to do. And when I hear something like that, I want to ask them, well, do you allow your children to make up their own mind about going to school? Do you let them make up their own mind about taking a bath, putting on some clean clothes? Do you let them make up their own mind about brushing their teeth, combing their hair, all the kinds of things that we do on a regular basis? You let them make up their own mind about whether they're going to go to the doctor or not. They get sick. And so you say, well, you're 13 year old. I'm going to let you decide whether you need to go to the doctor or not. Is that the way we do in the physical realm? Scripture teach that children are to be brought up in the nurture and training of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Or newer translations say the teaching and training of the Lord. Children have to be taught. They have to be trained. It's not something that just happens, that children grow up to be the kind of people that they ought to be. Now, I know that there are some children who grow up and are good, upstanding citizens in spite of their parents. And I know that there are some who grow up and become outlaws, for lack of a better expression, in spite of their parents. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Proverbs says, train up a child the way he should go, and in the old he'll not depart from it. But it takes training. It takes teaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said regarding Timothy that from a child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had been taught by his mother and his grandmother. This is a classic example of where a mother, a grandmother, can do the teaching, even though the father doesn't seem to be involved. Timothy's father was a Greek, and we don't have anything in Scripture that indicates that his father was instrumental in the teaching and training of Timothy. But we do have record where his mother and his grandmother were involved in that. And so women can be the kind of influence and teach you, do the teaching that they need to do in spite of a father that won't take responsibility. But again, that's the exception rather than the rule. The rule is that fathers take the lead in family and the teaching and training of children. But the devil says, you just let your wife stay home. She got a fix for company. Or I've noticed in a lot of congregations, when one member of the family is sick, the whole family stays home. Somehow or another, it takes both mother and father to take care of a sick child. But come Monday morning, daddy's gone to work. Sometimes mama's gone to work too, and child goes to babysitting, even though child's still sick. They take care of the other responsibilities, but can't take care of the spiritual responsibility. You know who's at work there? That's the devil at work, just like he was here. The devil says, well, you can come to Bible study. I mean, you can come to preaching, but just don't go to Bible study. You come to part of the assembly, but you'd rather go all the way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, remember, Peter says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We have to have desire for God's word just like a baby has a desire for milk. If we as children of God had desire for God's word to the same extent, to the same intensity that a baby wants milk, we'd all be growing a whole lot more than we are. We'd all have a whole lot more knowledge of God's word than we do, because that baby has a very intense desire for milk. If we had that kind of intensity in our desire for studying God's word, we'd be present any time we had opportunity to hear God's word being taught or participate in a Bible study, period. This area of the country has a tremendous opportunity to go and hear good, sound gospel preaching. This week and in next week, there are a number of gospel meetings in this area. Some of them are a little bit far to drive, but not any further to drive there than we drive to do a lot of other things. We could go and we could hear the word of God proclaimed. How many will take advantage of the opportunities that are there? See, no devil is working. He's trying to get us to compromise. Don't go all the way. Just let a few go to church. Let the husband go or let the wife go, but part of the family stay home. Husband don't take his responsibility. He don't take his responsibility as a father. He lets someone else do it. And so this is the kind of compromise that the devil offers to the people of God there in Egypt. And he offers a further compromise when they said, no, that won't work. We're all going to go. Look in Exodus chapter 10 at verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. So Pharaoh gives them a little bit more each time. But he understands that if he can still keep just a little bit, just a small fraction of what the people have, if he can keep that in Egypt, then likely he's going to be able to keep the whole family there. God said, go with your flocks and your herd. We read over there in verse 9 of chapter 10. Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast in the Lord. Well, Pharaoh already offered them compromise. You can go, but let your children, your wives and children, stay here. Now he said, well, you can go, but let your flocks and herds stay here. You can even go take your children, but leave all your livestock here. Leave your possessions here, and that ties them to Egypt. Remember what Jesus said? Where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've got, as the rich farmer talked about, much good laid up for many years. And so we want to stay with it. Pharaoh knew that. He knew human nature. He knew that if he could keep part of their possessions there in Egypt, that he could keep them there as well. And so Satan says to us today, Well, yeah, you can be a member of the Lord's church. You can even take your children. You can take them to Bible class, and you can let them attend the Bible class, but I want you to leave your material goods with me. Yeah, you can worship God, but don't put your money, your time, and your goods into his service. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, this instruction is recorded. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We love God with everything we have. All ourselves, all our goods, all our services, everything we have belongs to the Lord. But the devil says, no, don't put your money and your time and your energies into your service, because after all, you work hard for what you have, and your family needs it. You need to be spending all this on your family so you can have security in this life and furnish security for your old age. You remember what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in the store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there at verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, God wants us and everything we have. Everything we have belongs to him. That doesn't mean that we put everything out of our paycheck in the collection basket every Lord's Day. We give back to the Lord's work as we have prospered, as we purpose in our heart, we determine in our own mind as to the amount of what we're going to be able to give back to the Lord. Yes, we have family responsibility. Paul said one who won't provide for his own is denied the faith of worse than infidel. We have to provide for our families, and we work in order not only to help provide for ourselves, but to help provide for others also, to give to them the need. And so we have responsibilities outside of our responsibilities to give to the Lord's work on the first day of the week. But in reality, all of this, all that we're doing, the using of our resources, is for the Lord. When we're taking care of our family, that's because we belong to the Lord, because we're his. We've come out of the world and we recognize our responsibility in these matters. You remember the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, understand, Paul didn't say that money is the root of all evil. Can't find that in Scripture. But the love of money, one who determines that they will be rich, as Paul continues in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, he said, charge them that are rich in this world. And so there are some who are rich in this world. They have a lot of financial resources. And so charge them, give them this exhortation, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see, everything we do, even the spending of our money, is in the direction of laying hold on eternal life. Doing what the Lord requires of us, and that's what Moses told Pharaoh. No, we're going with everything we have. We're going in the wilderness to offer sacrifice unto the Lord. That's what God requires. So these are series of compromises that Pharaoh offered to the children of Israel. And Satan is still offering the same type of compromises to the Lord's people today. We need to understand that we cannot compromise God's law. We cannot give in to Satan. We have to be watchful because the devil, who is our adversary, our enemy, Peter described, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's there at every turn, offering you all kinds of excuses, all kinds of compromises, to let you be a little bit of a Christian. Do a little bit for the Lord, just enough to ease your conscience. just to let everybody else think that you're a Christian, but you don't go all the way. He can make things sound sensible. He can make it sound like it's the thing to do, just like Pharaoh tried to do. Remember what Solomon said in Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way that seemeth right in the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because the devil makes it seem like it's the thing to do does not necessarily mean that it is the thing to do. And let me suggest this to you. If we compromise on one point, then guess what? Satan has us where he wants us. If Pharaoh could have gotten Israel to compromise on just one of these points, if he had gotten them to give in to any one of the compromises he offered, they'd never left Egypt. They'd stayed there. And that's what Pharaoh knew. He could get Israel to compromise what God said and thereby keep them in Egypt. The same thing is true with us today. If the devil could get us to compromise a little bit, he can keep us as his servant. He can keep us in the world, even though we may think, we may believe that we have left the world and we're serving the Lord. But remember that word in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. The idea of conform is make yourself into that which others want you to be. Be not conformed to this world. Don't make yourself like the world in any part, but be ye transformed. That's a complete change. It's really the word that we get our word metamorphosis from. Metamorphosis is a process that you see happen when a caterpillar changes itself into a beautiful butterfly, changes form. Doesn't look anything at all like what it was. Same thing is true with us as Christians. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We've separated ourselves from the world, but that means there needs to be a total, complete separation. Not participating just a little bit in the things of the world and still think that I'm a Christian, that I'm a faithful child of God. So let's examine ourselves tonight. As Paul said to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. No, you're not in Christ unless you are reprobate. Some translations render that, except you're disqualified. A disqualification means you've broken the rules somewhere along the line. Done something that you shouldn't have done. We can allow ourselves to compromise our convictions, to compromise our faith when the devil makes all these offers to us. He did the same thing with our Lord when he was there after he had been fasted for 40 days and nights. He said he was afterward and hungry. The devil said, well, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He offered him two other scenarios. One of them, he said, I'll give you all the kingdom of the world if you just fall down and worship me. Well, the first thing is, this wasn't the devil's to give. He didn't own it, yes, he made the prince of the power of the air, he's prince of the world. And yes, Satan has certain powers. But all this was not his to give to the Lord. But he offered it to him. And he offers us anything and everything that our little old heart desires if we'll just stay in his camp. Just a little bit. Just keep one foot in his camp. There's a story told about a camel. He's cold outside, and so he asked, can he just stick his nose in the tent because it's cold? And it's not very long until the whole camel is in the tent. And that's what happens to us if we're not very careful. If the devil can get just a little bit of a toehold, it won't be long. He'll have us completely. That's the reason we have to be diligent. We have to be strong. We have to be like Moses was with Pharaoh. No, we're not even going to leave a hoof behind. Everything's going. And so we have to give everything to the Lord. Now, question that each of us needs to ask ourselves, have I given everything to the Lord? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That involves everything I have. Everything I am belongs to the Lord. So whatever I do with what I have should be in an effort to do the Lord's will. Not just my will, but his will. If you're in this audience tonight and you realize that your life is not what it ought to be, you have made compromises in your life that allowed Satan to still have some kind of a hold on you. You can straighten that out tonight. If you repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you. He'll accept you back. If you've never been obedient to the gospel, you've never been added to the Lord's family. You're in the devil's camp completely, totally, until you become an obedient child. Being born into the family of God. You can do that tonight. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, that can be taken care of this very night. So if you're in this audience, you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.